This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Hello and welcome to the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jay Scrier. We are back. It's 2025. I've taken a bit of a hiatus for deer season and stuff, but we are back. Turkey season is way closer now than it has been since it ended. And I am getting really excited, and I bet you guys are too. This 2025 turkey season is extremely exciting because I have some time to go turkey hunting. And, as you know, I'm a musician. And so my work is kind of like here and there, all over the place. Never really know what's going on. But this year, we're going to be around home for turkey season. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a ton of fun. So now the deer season is over, it's definitely time to move fully into turkey hunting mode. I hope you guys got out there. I hope you took somebody hunting with you. Hope you had a great deer season, if that's something that you do. A little bit going on with me lately. Learning how to function with a child is a trick. It's a trick for sure. Everybody always says that, of course. And it is both easier and way harder than it probably should be, or at least than I thought it would be. And so I'm still trying to figure out how to be really consistent with these podcasts. But I think we're getting somewhere. I think we're going to get there for sure. I've been down here in South Texas. You might notice if you're watching the video, if I can even upload the video with the slow Wi-Fi here, I'm not in my normal spot. And so you also might notice a few random sounds that you don't normally notice, but that just is what it is. I'm in a strange environment, but we're going to make it work anyway. So I'm down here in South Texas. We play music down here all winter. And I've got a boat down here that I bought with a buddy of mine, and I do a lot of saltwater fishing while I'm down here. And I do see the occasional Rio turkey out here too, so that's always fun. But me and my brother-in-law, Nate, we've been out doing some fishing, doing some bow fishing. When we were down here in December, we were playing music like every day. We had a show. But the good thing about bow fishing is you can go at night. So we started going at night, and we usually bow fish for like stingray and sheep's head, both very delicious fish species. Boy, that's hard to say. And we just love it. So we've gone out a few times, and I'll tell you what, mostly what has happened is boat problems, which is not my very favorite thing to have happen. You know, like you plan all week, you get all the stuff ready. You get out on the water and the boat doesn't run like it's supposed to. Of course, that's what happens when you buy outboards that are from the, you know, 1970s, like the late 70s. But I've gotten along really good with this boat so far. So me and my brother-in-law, we went out. I had forgotten some of the finer points of navigation down here and stuff. And we just got into a few issues. But the way it works down here is, and this is how most bow fishing works when you're doing a shoreline, is you just try to get in decently shallow water where you can see, and you just kind of parallel the shoreline. Well, down here, shorelines are all over the place. They'll like cut in and cut out because they're vast flats down here. So it's kind of really easy to like run up on a sandbar, and it happens all the time. So I always keep with me a kayak paddle, so that way if we run up on a sandbar, I can just push us off, and then we can troll away. That's been by far the fastest way to get over running aground. So I got this kayak paddle with me. We run up on the sandbar. I tell my brother-in-law, I'm like, hey, go up there, grab the trolling motor. And a little trick that works sometimes is you can pop the trolling motor out of its mount and run it in just a little bit of water. And with that and me pushing with the kayak paddle, we can almost always push right off of these sandbars really quick. Well, another thing you got to think about is on this evening, the tide was dropping. So you don't want to be stuck on a sandbar for a long time because the tide might drop around you and you might not be able to get off. So speed is key. So we run up on the sandbar. My brother-in-law goes over to the trolling motor. I grab the kayak paddle. I go to start pushing. And I notice like the boat feels very heavy. Like I'm having a hard time pushing this boat off of this sandbar. Like I can't hardly get it done. And I'm pushing and I'm pushing and I'm reaching way out. Like my arms are extended in a kind of weird way, which I didn't really notice at first. But what ended up happening was the kayak paddle, like the actual paddle part, snapped in half. And I went from pushing the whole weight of our boat to like nothing. And when that happened, my left shoulder dislocated again, which has happened before. I dislocated the shoulder years ago. And usually every turkey season, I re-dislocate it. If you guys listened to the episode with Fit to Hunt this year, you heard me talk about how this year was the first year I did not re-dislocate my shoulder during turkey season. Well, I guess that was because I was saving it for South Texas. Sure enough, re-dislocate my shoulder, kayak paddle breaks. I put my shoulder back into socket real quick. And I can't stop pushing us. Like, you can't just, like, stop and take a break because we have to get off the sandbar. So I just use my right arm and I kind of keep pushing And luckily, there was enough momentum going. I was able to get us pushed off the sandbar. I go up to the front of the boat. I take over running the trolling motor for my brother-in-law. And it turns out he had been running it in reverse the whole time. So not only was I pushing the weight of the boat, but I was also pushing against our 55-pound thrust trolling motor in full blast reverse. So that was a real interesting thing. And this was like an hour into the night. And a thing that happens when you redislocate your shoulder is it hurts. And then it hurts worse as you go. But I was like, we ain't stopping this trip. We're going to keep bow fishing. So we kept on bow fishing. And we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. We shot some fish. Somehow I was still able to pull my bow back. Which I don't really understand how that was possible, but it was, and we had a good time. Another thing that was interesting that evening, we rolled into this one spot that was like really wind protected, really clear water. And we probably saw five or six just huge flounder. And, in Texas, you can bowfish flounder of a certain size, but, the issue is, from like mid-November to mid-December, they actually close the fishery completely for flounder. So you're not allowed to have them on the boat. You're not allowed to, like, you cannot keep them at all. So we just had to look at them and then just move on. And that, man, that was rough. But I guess it makes sense. You know, you got to follow the laws while you're out there. And that is what we do. So it's time to get into talking about turkey hunting. I've told you about my bow fishing down here, told you about all that good stuff, and now it's time to talk about turkey hunting. So this month, I'm going to try, and maybe into next month as well, I'm going to try and do some episodes that are like, not really New Year's resolutions, but they're like New Year's and goals for the new year. So, like, this is a great time to be a clean slate. You know, we're always talking about, like, oh, someday I'd like to do this. Oh, someday I'd like to do that. Or, like, I'm eventually going to work on this. Now is a great time. We've got a clean slate. You got time to think about it. You got time to do stuff. And that's my hope for the next few episodes, at least, just to kind of focus on what we can do in the new year to have a better turkey hunting experience. So one of the first thing that comes to my mind is like, now is the time to buy your calls. If you're going to get a new box call, if you're going to get a new slate call, if you're going to get a new diaphragm call, whatever you're going to do, now is the time to buy that, because first of all, it'll actually get shipped to you way before turkey season. You'll have time also to practice with this new call. You'll have time to get familiar with it. You'll have time to figure out how you're going to store it when you're out hunting. Are you just going to put it in a pocket? Does it squeak when you walk around? That's a huge problem I always have with box calls. And this is a great time to buy calls. So if you haven't already got your calls for this year and you thought last year, hey, maybe I'm going to do a new call this year, now's the time. Get out there and get you a new call. Also, about this time of year, which I can't do because I'm not home right now, but when I do get home, I'm going to be doing a gear assessment. I try to do this before every hunting season. I don't always get that done, but a gear assessment, I think, is a super key part of pre-season work. And here's why. It's really easy throughout the course of a turkey season for you to lose track of gear or lose gear or break gear or realize that whatever gear you have, you don't really like. It's not working for you and all that stuff. And what a gear assessment does is it helps you remember what you liked about last year, what you didn't like, and what you wanted to do differently. So, like, say maybe you go out with a hunting pack when you're turkey hunting, and maybe it wasn't quite big enough for you. Maybe you want to upgrade. Maybe it was too big. Maybe you want to downgrade. Maybe you want to go to a vest. Maybe you want to go more minimalist. Now's the time to figure out, okay, if I'm just going to do a turkey vest, where do I put all my stuff? Or if I'm going to get a smaller pack, is there still room for all this stuff? Or do I want to start filming? Where do I put my camera? All of those things work great to have a gear assessment. This year, before deer season, I did not have a chance to do my gear assessment. And I got out for my first hunt and realized that one of my tree straps for my climbing sticks was gone. I had lost it on one of the last hunts of the previous year, and I had completely forgotten about it. So, like, I run a mobile setup when I'm deer hunting. I have three sticks. They're all three-step sticks, and they've got an aider. And then I have my tree stand saddle that I hunt out of, and I was only able to go up two instead of three, which totally changes my shooting lanes, which totally changes everything. And it's not that you can't still do well with two sticks, but when you're planning on being three sticks high, there's usually a reason for that. So do a gear assessment, take a look at what you've got, and try to understand what you need. And it's a great time to learn this new gear, learn your new calls, whatever it is you get. Maybe you're wanting to run some sort of like hydration bladder thing. I've done that before in turkey season, and it's really nice, except for when you need to clean the hydration bladder. Those things are a pain in the butt to clean. So take a good assessment of your gear. And then this time of year, another thing that I really like to do with turkey season is just to start daydreaming and reminiscing about all the amazing times I've had out turkey hunting. It gets me fired up, gets me excited to scout, gets me excited to do habitat work if that's something I'm going to do. Whatever I'm going to do, it's all about the experience, right? Like, turkey hunting is about so much more than just getting after a bird. It's about the amazing things you see. It's about the cool experiences you have. I think about last year, you know, I get to turkey hunt right next to this creek bottom, well, in this creek bottom. And I always go and look in the creek because it's usually super clear in the spring and you can see the suckers and the gar and everything moving through, spawning and all of that stuff. And it's just the coolest thing ever. And I usually try to get down there with my dad and we try and catch some fish and, you know, we just kind of spread it all out. And I remember the first turkey I ever was around that got shot. It was such a cool day. Like, my dad and I went in to hunt, and it was a picture-perfect spring morning. We were on top of a hill. It wasn't even daylight yet, and you could just hear those birds gobbling. It seemed like we could hear 15 of them from where we were standing. That's probably not what was actually happening, but that's what it seemed like. And we found the closest one, and we got as close in as we could to it. And we started calling, and we got hidden, and just the anticipation. I think that's one of the most exciting things about turkey hunting is the anticipation. Just those moments of thinking, any minute now, this turkey's going to appear. He's going to come around the corner. He's going to fly down into the hill. He's going to show up just swelled up like a balloon. And we waited and waited and waited, and that turkey never came our way. He flew across to the other side of the creek, and then we heard a few shotgun blasts. And I was kind of discouraged, but we kind of kicked around. We found some mushrooms. We found some fish in the creek. We were going to go get our fishing poles and do a little fishing. And I thought to myself, man, the only thing missing is a turkey. It would just be so cool if we could get a turkey today. So I'm holding an armful of mushrooms. My dad's got the shotgun. We're walking back to the truck. And out in the middle of this wide open field, you can't see anything in it. Like, there's nothing in this field, and this field is not grown up or anything. We're just walking, and all of a sudden, up from like underneath my dad, this Tom jumps up and starts running. And it was the wildest thing because I never saw that bird in that field. And he must have just hunkered down when we came into the field instead of tried to run away, because we came in from this different path than we normally take when we walk into that field. And that turkey started running away, and Dad started tracking him with the shotgun, and he was able to shoot that turkey and run up on it and snap its neck and all that. And it was just the wildest thing I'd ever seen. Like, oh, now, for all of you turkey hunting purists, yes, it wasn't a perfect whatever, but to me, it was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. That, like, my dad could even think that quick, the way he jumped up on the bird and essentially wrestled it down. It was just crazy. And I mean, neither of us had been turkey hunting in several years. So we didn't really care how it happened. We just wanted the experience, right? And it was just crazy to me how that all worked out. I think about that memory a lot. Then I think about like your textbook turkey hunts too. Like I think about one day I was trying to hunt this group of birds, and they would always go to this one corner of the field, and they would just, it was just a bulletproof spot for those turkeys to be because of how my access was. I could never get to them in any way that would like hide me. They were just in this corner of this field, and you were just caught coming around from any direction, and you couldn't hardly ever call them away from there. And I remember one day I was trying to call them. Well, they ended up going up into this hill and kind of disappearing. So I thought, well, now's my chance. I'll go get in that little corner and get hidden. Because there was a few spots you could hide, but there was like a steep creek bank on the other side of it. So there was no way to like slip in there. You had to just walk across the field. And I thought, man, none of them are in the field right now. Now's my chance. I'm going to walk across this field and I'm going to get in and get hidden, and we're going to see if they'll come back down into this field, because there's turkeys in it all day long, it seemed like. So I got in, I set up a couple decoys. I set up the decoys facing where I thought these turkeys would come from, which I later learned is a mistake. So I'm sitting there, very well hidden. This yearling deer comes in, just looking so skinny, just nearly dead, like yearlings do that time of year. And it checks out my decoys, and it's probably 10 feet from me. I mean, it hangs around, finally sees me, freaks out, runs away. It was just crazy. And after a while, a hen comes into the field. And she just starts feeding around out near my decoys. And I'm thinking, man, this is perfect. Then another hen comes in. And I'm like, man, you can't beat this. And they're close too. And all of a sudden, both of these hens just start making constant noise. Now, I don't know if it's that they started doing that or that I could just hear them. But it wasn't yelping and it wasn't like clucking. It was just a bunch of little vocalizations. It almost sounded like water dripping almost. Just a real interesting sort of gurgly sound. And I've never really heard turkeys make a sound like it in the wild before. I think if you went and looked it up, you could probably figure out exactly what that sound is and blah, blah, blah. But they both start making this noise just nonstop. And I look up and on the hill, I just see this tom fully strutted out, making his way down the hill. And it looked like the biggest tom I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, it was just crazy, which, I mean, all turkeys look huge to me, especially when you're sitting on the ground and they're close. I mean, they just look massive. And so he's just coming in strutting down this hill. And he struts down and he sees my decoys. And I think to myself, here we go. Going to happen. And he's probably like 60 yards away. No way I was going to take a shot that far with that particular shotgun and that level of experience. I don't think I would even do that now. But he stands there and just struts and struts for my decoy and struts and struts. And I don't think he ever gobbled even once. But he just struts and struts and struts. And finally, he rounds up those two hens and they fly across the creek. And I think, man, I can't believe that didn't work. I don't know why that didn't work. So I'm bummed, right? So I put all my stuff up, and then I remember, like, I've got permission on this other side of the creek too. So the water in the creek was really low, so I was able to cross in a spot that I don't normally cross. So I crossed the creek. Honestly, I still don't know how I crossed there, because I've never been able to cross there since. I think just sheer force of will, like, I'm going to run these turkeys down. I pop over into the next field, and sure enough, they're out there in the field, and that tom is just strutting around. He's strutting around. So I begin to belly crawl up to this line of woods, and I'm calling at these birds, And that Tom just keeps strutting and he keeps strutting. He never gobbles. He never comes my way. I mean, I'm competing with two hens. I don't know why I even tried it, really. And now I know probably the move would have been to try to call to those hens and call those hens in. But that's so hard to do when you're by yourself. I mean, you can do it. It's not impossible. But at my skill level at that point, it might as well have been impossible. So I'm calling at these birds. I finally get one of my decoys up. And I kind of put it out where they can see it. And I'm like, maybe this will bring them in. I don't even know if they ever saw it or not. They probably saw me and they're like, oh, there's a guy over there. So this is just not getting any closer than 100 yards. So I'm calling at this bird, calling at this bird. I turn and look behind me. And there's a coyote coming in on me, I guess from my calling. So now I'm trying to call these birds in. I'm actually calling in a coyote. And I'm not really sure what to do. So what ended up happening is they all escaped completely unscathed from me because I was trying to spook the coyote so that I could maybe hunt these turkeys. And those turkeys just always stayed about 100 yards away from me. And they just worked out of my life. And that's a great reminder of not only how fun turkey hunting is, but also how hard turkey hunting is. Because I think it can get really easy in the off season to let your sort of nostalgia for turkey hunting run rampant to the point that you're like, oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to go out there, shoot my bird first day. And sometimes that's not what ends up happening. In fact, most of the time, that's not what happens. And I would also say most of the time, that's not really what you want to happen. You want to have that full experience. You want to enjoy that turkey season. So I just want to encourage you, man, get those calls ordered, check that gear, and man, just start looking forward to turkey season. I've got a whole bunch of episodes with some great guests in mind, and I'm hoping I'm going to be able to put all those out there, and we're going to have a great turkey season together. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. You can find me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also email me, howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. And most importantly, guys, I just hope you get out there and have a great turkey season. If you've got an idea for an episode, something you're wanting to learn more about this year, send me an email. I would love to know what you guys want to hear about, what you guys want to learn about. So shoot me those emails, give me those ideas, and you guys just have a great turkey season and take somebody hunting with you.
Saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.